This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Lovers' names carved in walls overlap, start to merge. Some of them underneath. Maybe they appear in graveyards. Maybe they fade away, weathered and overgrown. Time has told. Meaningful, hidden words suddenly appear from the murk. Maybe they're telling us that the end never was, never will. The words have gone, but the meaning will never disappear from the wall.
Are these the lyrics to Lovers'
yes,
Carvings?
These
I
are
would
the
have
lyrics.
Never known.
These are the lyrics to Lovers' Carvings by none other than BBO.
Mm-hmm.
The year is 2012. When we're listening to Lovers' Carvings, a song that you might think to yourself, I didn't even know there were lyrics.
Yeah. You can get pretty far into that song without ever hearing a lyric.
You don't even know that there are lyrics.
Yeah. But it's so cute.
So what were we wearing when we were listening to Lovers' Carvings in 2012? According to the internet, because, you know, I like to jog us all the way back there, I Googled today 2012 high school style.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what came up.
Oh, no. What is it?
Number one, leather.
Oh.
Okay.
That does not resonate.
I don't think that resonates.
Not for me. Not my high school
dream. Resonates. Also, this is a really funny graphic that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah. It's like a flat lay of all the clothes and...
Leather, booties.
Oh.
Actually, I do feel like booties were big.
Booties. Like,
I thought you meant like booties.
Oh, yeah. No.
I was like, well, yeah.
No, like an
aren't
ankle
they always
booty?
In style?
Yeah, you think. Ankle
yes,
booties.
Ankle booties, that does track.
Prince. See, now this feels very broad to me. You
yeah.
can't just say Prince, but I do feel like animal prints were like popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I'm thinking about it, I'm drawing a blank. I'm like, was there a style of like the 2010s, the 2012?
Okay, they say blazer, and I do think the blazers were really popular.
Yeah, maybe for like, you know, like people in their 20s.
Okay, not to bring it about the co-host of your podcast, but I think Gossip Girl was very informative mm-hmm. to girls being like, I want to dress like,
yes.
you know, anyway.
Totally.
Peter Pan collars.
Oh, yes. Yes. I definitely had a cute shirt and peplums. I had a cute shirt.
Peplums.
This is bringing me back. It was a pink shirt with a Peter Pan collar and a peplum.
Well, you know
really
what?
Really going for it.
I've decided that now I'm going to start the episode because I want to talk about your high school style.
Okay.
So everyone's like, who's talking? And my guest today is Sophie Ansari.
Yes.
And Sophie grew up. Went to high school in Beijing, China.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So we were wearing the peplum and the Peter Pan collar in Beijing.
Yeah.
I mean, Beijing is such a big city, right?
Yeah, huge, huge.
Huge.
I think it's like, at the time I was living there, I think it was like 22 million
people. Is it the biggest city in China?
I don't know. You'd have to fact check that. I mean, I think it's one of the top. Five, probably.
I really...
Every city in China is big, though.
I know, like, Tianjin is huge.
Yeah.
Beijing is huge.
Yep.
Hong Kong, obviously, but,
Shanghai
you know,
is huge.
Shanghai.
Yeah, Hong Kong, is it?
Yeah. It's like Hong Kong, or what? You know, but Beijing. What was style like in Beijing?
I mean, I went to an international school.
Mm-hmm.
So people who I was going to school with were from all over. A lot of... people from Scandinavia, for some
chic.
Reason. I know, yeah.
Scandinavians in Beijing going to international school.
Yeah.
Now, honey, that's a series I would watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I just had this memory come back to me of my sister. So I had a boyfriend in high school who was Swedish and very just like effortlessly stylish.
Yes.
And my sister said to me one day, she's older than me, and she was like, do you ever feel embarrassed? Just like that, like no context. And I was like, why would I feel embarrassed? She's like, well, Isaac just has such good style and you don't. And I was like, well, now I am.
Yeah, now you're like, now that you put it this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I love a high school boyfriend. Were you like super in love?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. He was definitely my first love. But we broke up after we continued dating after high school. And like he took a gap year and stayed in Beijing to learn Chinese. He went to like a Chinese university for a year to learn the language. And I was still in high school. He was a year older than me. And then I took a gap year after that, and I just decided, like, this isn't what I want for my life. We have different goals, different visions, and I was very – I felt very mature making that decision. My parents called me the Terminator. They're like, anytime you, like, make a decision that you don't want to be with somebody and it's over. And I mean, maybe we'll get to this in our high school grievances, but I feel for him. Like, it was like a really intense, loving relationship, and then it ended really quick because I was like, this isn't for me. I'm, like, going in a different direction in my life.
But I kind of feel like all high school relationships, even, like, college relationships, I think kind of all relationships, they're all pretty abrupt. Unless you have one of these, like, really sad breakups, which, like, I've had one where, like, you both know the relationship, like, the relationship is dead, and you both are, like, very sadly being like, this is the end, like, I'm sorry. Like, otherwise, it is kind of this abrupt thing where one person does kind of have to be like, this is over, and I'm really sorry. And it's jarring because it really... You need to grieve that person, and you need to grieve the relationship being over. And when you're a teenager, it's so hard because you don't have enough, you haven't collected enough experience to know that, like, you're going to be okay and you'll fall in love again.
Yeah.
Because you just don't have that perspective yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've talked as adults and we've settled, you know. I've apologized for the way I ended things and being like, I think in high school I felt really principled. And so I would like make decisions based on principle. But, you know, it's kind of like my husband talks about how like sometimes he feels like a college kid discovering communism for the first time. They're like so intense about something that they've like just started to learn about. That was me in high school. I was like making I felt really like I knew what I was talking about. And
were you very like righteous?
Yeah, I feel like I was really righteous looking back. Well, and I could have chilled out.
Well, I think that teenagers, like, generally speaking, are pretty extreme.
Yeah,
like one way or the other. It just is a matter of like how you express those feelings and those urges.
Yeah.
But I do think I kind of am obsessed with the idea of like morally like correct and morally astute or whatever teens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was so not like that.
Really? What were you like?
Oh, God. What was I like? I don't know. I was like, I really hated school. I had terrible grades.
Yeah.
I loved people. So, like, I loved to, like, socialize and, like, you know, get to know people and chat. I was, like, broody and artsy, too. I think I, like, loved being like tortured. I don't know. I also was like, I smoked a lot of pot. I drank. I was like smoking cigarettes and like listening to like, you know, the Pixies.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I was like, oh, that was like very me. And I hated rules. But I also like was scared of getting in trouble, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like from your parents or from like
I didn't really give a fuck about my my mom, like my mom scared the shit out of me.
Really?
In a good way.
Yeah.
Like not in a bad way, but my mom scared me. So like I never wanted to disappoint. Like I never wanted to disappoint my mom. Mm-hmm. I had a very fraught relationship with my father when I was a teen that made me be like, fuck you. Like, I would, like, buck up against him all the time. Mm-hmm. So I became, like, very fearless of, like, of authority, I guess. Like, yeah. I was not scared to question and, like, poke holes, which I think is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I was never the kind of kid that was like, fuck you. Like, I don't care if I get caught. Like, I was definitely like, I don't want to get caught, yeah. you know? Like, yeah. I'll do the bad thing. I just don't want to get caught. But
that's such an interesting dual feeling.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. You know, what is bad? I knew kids that were doing really bad things.
Yeah.
I never fucked with that.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, I was yeah. never, I also never like really got on with the kids that were like, this is how things are supposed to be. And yeah. like, this is what I'm going
well,
to
I
do.
Wasn't like that. I wasn't like that. Let's like, as we were talking, I was like, wait, I don't think I was
well,
actually that righteous.
Paint the picture. First of all, I love international schools. I grew up in mm-hmm. DC.
Okay.
Around yeah, a lot of international students and mm-hmm. Washington International School. I was always so jealous mm-hmm. that I never went there because I was like, those kids are so chic. They mm-hmm. all like speak 9 million languages. They like roll their own cigarettes. They're yep. like very
yep.
cool.
I had a lot of friends. I rolled my own cigarettes.
So what was your high school like? Was it big? Was it small? Was it cliquey? What was going on?
Yeah. So my high school was actually very artsy. Mm. It wasn't an arts high school, but it just – I had been to many international schools leading up to that one, and it was just like a different ball game. It even looked beautiful. Like there was a koi pond running through
Whoa.
It and like bamboo forest in like the courtyard. Yeah, it was a beautiful – school, they really encouraged art, which I loved. Now I'm an artist. What was I like in high school? Paint a picture. I feel like I had three different high school experiences, and I was very influenced by friends. So like the first year and a half of high school, I was friends with this girl, Emily, from England.
Mm.
And she was just like way more mature than I was. And we would go, she like taught me how to smoke a cigarette.
Classic.
We would go after school to Domino's and like order some garlic knots and sit in the back. They had like a little back patio and just smoke cigarettes and talk about life.
I love that. A little garlic knot and a
yeah.
cigarette.
Yeah.
People say cigarettes
that?
And coffee. No, yeah. cigarettes and garlic knots.
Try it.
Yeah.
And she introduced me to a bunch of kids who were in the grade above. So, like, those couple of years, I was really close with her and the kids in the grade above, which 1 year isn't a lot.
Yeah.
It's not a big age gap. But at the time in high school, it feels so large.
No, it feels huge.
Yeah.
It feels huge.
Yeah.
I was writing a story down the other day that I thought about how I lied to these. I was 14 and I lied to these like 15-year-old girls that I was 15. And in hindsight, it's like, why did I do
yeah.
that?
No,
well,
it's
Well, you
a big
do
deal.
That because when you're 14, you just finished eighth grade and you're going into your freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 15, you're going into your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So there does feel like a huge cultural.
Yeah.
Divide.
Yeah. So much is happening each year of that time period that it really is. There is a big difference between each year.
Yeah.
I feel like. So that was my experience in the beginning of high school. And then I became friends with someone named Camilla who was very artsy and very much more innocent. And then my high school experience shifted. We would like spend time in the dark room at school together. We would like go out on adventures and take film photos and go back to the school and develop them. And like that was our identity. We were like it was like so part of my high school was like tortured artist identity. And then
I love that.
Yeah. And then my last year.
Because the dark room for me was really like my safe space.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You
it
were
sounds
a photographer.
So emo, but like it really yeah. that was like it was what I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
It was where I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to, like, memorize anything, like, in school, like, in class. Yeah. And I could just be an artist.
Yes. I know. Yeah. So I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I loved art. I loved film. I took a film class in my last 2 years of high school. And I wasn't very good at it, to
it
be honest.
Matter.
But I loved it. And then my last year of high school, I had a different best friend. and she was the daughter of the Danish ambassador.
Ooh.
In Beijing. Yeah, it was, oh my gosh. She lived at the embassy,
right.
So it was like a really sick house. And she had their kitchen, you know, was meant for events and stuff like
right,
that.
It's like a commercial grade kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. So she actually grew up in D.C. part of the time, but then she moved to Beijing. I slept over at her house for the first time, and she was like, let me show you my passion fruit drawer. She had like a refrigerated drawer just for passion fruit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That. So I was like, yeah, let me have a peek into this world for some time. So yeah, I felt like I had some distinct experiences.
Zones. Yeah. And your boyfriend, mm-hmm. how did you date him throughout all of high school?
I started dating him in 10th grade. The end of 10th grade was our first kiss at a club. So another thing about Beijing is that, well, for international kids, there's no like drinking age, no age for like being let into clubs. There's basically no rules.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So I spent a lot of high school going out to clubs. Like,
what clubs? What were they called?
Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting now. I feel like one of them had Sky in the name. I don't remember. There was like a downtown area of Beijing that was called Bar Street, and it just had like a ton of different bars. I was there like at 15, 16.
Funny. What were you drinking?
I didn't try drinking until, I think I tried it once and I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated not like being in control. Mm-hmm. So I didn't end up drinking, but smoking cigarettes was my like.
Do you drink vice. Now or did you no. just never end up drinking?
I never ended up drinking. Yeah.
Good for you. I'm over here being like, just go one day, not having a drink. I'm like, one day, Greta, it's not that hard. Yeah.
Well, I tried it. So I actually, the first time I tried drinking was when I was friends with this girl, Camilla, who was like super innocent and she hadn't had any alcohol at that point, and I got drunk for the first and only time. And we were sleeping over at my house that night, and we went home, and my parents were pretty strict, and they could sense something, I think. And then I woke up the next morning, my phone was not in my room. They had like taken my phone and read through my texts, and I had texted Isaac, who was my boyfriend at the time, and had told him, like, I did a bad thing. I don't know what's going on. I feel weird. You know, he wasn't at this party. And so they saw my texts to him and knew that I had drank. And so I woke up to just screaming,
oh, no.
Get down here now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that might have also
been
part of it.
No shade on your parents.
Yeah.
But, like, that's really messed up that they read through your texts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That there was no... no privacy.
Right.
No, like if I wrote in my journal, I remember thinking as I would write in my journal, like, my mom's going to read this. Like, I have to make sure
really?
That it's like I can process things, but I have to do it kind of like in code in my journal.
Right.
Because I don't know who's going to read it. My sister.
Where like if you write, it like makes no sense.
Yeah.
But like you understand what it means.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
No, yeah, it's not good.
I'd be tempted to read my child's texts for sure. Journal, no. Like, I joke about reading people's journals. I joke about it. It's a joke. But, like, I don't think I could actually read my kid's journal.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would feel guilty. Like, I would feel bad.
Yeah.
Because if people were to read my journal is actually so pathetic. My journal is like low-key actually embarrassing.
What are you writing in there?
Oh, like, I really hope my dreams come true.
Aww.
Like, like, today was a bad day, but I know bad days happen. That's like my sad journal.
Yeah.
It's mature.
Yeah.
But like... In high school, I had the opposite feeling, though. In high school, I was like, journals are fucking losers.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping a fucking journal. In reality, I was just lazy.
That's fair.
Was just like lazy, too lazy to write, probably.
You're like, I'm just going to take my photos. I'm going to go to the dark room.
Exactly.
That's my journal.
Exactly. That's my visual journal.
Yeah.
So you only tried drinking once.
Yeah. Well, I tried it twice. I remember I was at a birthday party and there was like a toast. And everyone knew Sophie doesn't drink. Sophie doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs. And so,
but you smoked cigarettes.
I smoked cigarettes. Yeah. Well, in China, everyone smoked cigarettes.
Totally.
Like there were no laws about smoking inside. So people were smoking
at your school?
Not at my school. No. they did draw some lines.
Well, you never know. You know, we had smoking lounges when our parents were in school.
Yeah. No, but like restaurants and stuff. Like I remember going to a Chinese restaurant right next to our school after school with friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just filled with smoke. Everyone's just smoking there. Like kids and...
Did you feel... So before you lived in Beijing, mm-hmm. you were in... Where were you living before Beijing?
The Philippines.
The Philippines.
Yeah. Manila.
So you were kind of bouncing all over Asia?
Not just Asia. Asia was like my formative years. The Philippines and China were... The Philippines was third grade through eighth grade, and then China was the middle of eighth grade through until I graduated. Yeah.
Did you feel, I mean, I guess you were always at international schools, so you mm-hmm. were around so many different kinds of people, mm-hmm. but did you feel the broader, like, cultural shifts in all of these places that you were going to? And do you feel that, like, informed a different... Like, when you think about your friends who went to high school in the U.S., mm-hmm. do you feel that you had a jarringly different high school experience to them?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think so. Like, for example, the fact that there was no drinking age for right. international students and I was going to clubs.
Right.
And that's where I had my first kiss with Isaac, which I think I've told so many stories and, like, stopped telling them halfway.
No,
so I'm sorry.
I need to hear about the first kiss with Isaac. Let's go back to the first kiss with Isaac at the club.
Okay. Well,
were you wearing? First, do you remember what you were wearing?
I don't remember what I was wearing. Maybe something with a peplum. No. Yeah, hopefully not.
Peplum Peter Pan collar.
I had this like red dress that I loved to wear. We discussed this before we started recording, but I developed quite early and quite quick. And so I felt like there were a lot of things I couldn't wear because of my chest. And so when I found a few things that I could wear that like I felt were cute, mm-hmm. but I, you know, could still wear a bra.
Yeah.
I would wear them to death.
Wait, I literally just noticed that you had big boobs.
Yeah. I'll try to hide it.
What? I mean, sometimes like, what? I'm just being honest. Tevi scolds me.
No.
I'm just like, I literally
They were this size when I was in middle school.
And it's hell.
It's hell.
It's hell.
I would cry to my mom. I would like put my head in her lap and cry like, let me have a breast reduction.
How do you feel now? Do you want one now?
No, just because actually part of the reason I don't want one is because I've heard on TikTok. I saw a video on TikTok of you can fact check for me, but I heard on TikTok this girl say that she was a spray tan person and she said she'd seen people come in with breast reductions and that they were just like botched.
I have.
And I've just scarred. I realize that scarred me.
I want the world to know that I got a breast reduction when I was about to turn 15. And I have the most perfect breasts.
Yes.
On planet Earth. And a good friend of mine just got a breast reduction last month, sent me a picture of her titters.
Oh, really? They're great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Are we really going to trust the spray tanner? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No shade to the spray tanners. We need you.
Yeah.
It's a public service. But,
yeah.
You know,
I really shouldn't have, you know, I saw this TikTok the other day that was like saying that they believe every TikTok that they see. And so now they're no better than their mom who believes every Facebook story that they read. And I'm like, that was like an attack.
I mean, I will say, like, I'm very relieved that we didn't have TikTok in high school.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Because, like, I'm over here last night, you know, in bed, hearing about how we live in, like, the 3D matrix. And, like, this is, like, we're in, like, lower vibrational headspace where we're being oppressed by the people that want us to. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Why am I being fed this?
Yeah, and I've heard that Gen Z uses TikTok more than Google. Like, they'll use it as a search engine. Like, how do I do this? Or, like, what is the, you know.
Right.
The way we Google things. And I was like, that's scary. Honestly, because there's no fact checking. It's just another person. It could be someone in scrubs saying, like, I'm a nurse, but they're not.
I mean, I will say, like, sometimes I do go to TikTok and I'll be like, how to relieve neck tension. And it's, yeah, like, some chiropractor being like, take a towel and, like, do this. And I'm like, okay, this is helpful.
Yeah.
But I would never be like, explain to me, like, yeah, the war in Ukraine. Yeah. Actually, there are some good people, yeah, there that explain things.
It's hit or miss.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. A question from Tevi, my producer, is why were you in international school? Why were you growing up all over the world? What was happening?
Yeah, so my dad worked for UNICEF my whole life, the United Nations Children's Fund, and they make it hard for you to stay in a place longer than 5 years. I'm not sure exactly why, but yeah, we moved around every 2 to 5 years. We just moved to different offices.
I remember when we were little, or when I was little, having like the UNICEF coin mm-hmm. boxes.
Yeah, yeah. That's most people's connection to UNICEF.
Is, yeah, I mean, I guess I've never really met anyone that's ever worked for the organization other than,
yeah, they do. Know, they do a whole bunch of other stuff,
right,
besides the coin collection.
So your dad collects coins.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I feel like some people have asked me that before.
No.
Yeah. They're like, is he involved? Is that what his, like, is he counting? Or, you know. Like,
so does he talk to Angelina Jolie? Like, isn't she UNICEF?
He does talk to, because he did communications. So, yeah, he did talk to a lot of UNICEF ambassadors or UN ambassadors. Messi.
Okay.
He was like, you know, helping. Messi came to visit Beijing at one point and he was like the liaison. So he's had some cool experience. I mean, he's done way cooler stuff than talking to Messi.
I mean, Messi's cool.
Yeah, no, but he's done really cool stuff. Like, when we were in China, one of his biggest projects was around encouraging breastfeeding because formula has like a big presence in China and is marketed as better for babies, and not that it's not great for babies, but it would put a lot of families in debt, like in the Philippines and China. Anyway, so a lot of his work was around like campaigns around breastfeeding, creating safe spaces for mothers in public spaces to be able to breastfeed, and yeah.
Does he still work for UNICEF?
He just retired last year.
Wow, Mazel Tov.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Do you think that having your dad work in such like a, because going back to the conversation of like being like a righteous teenager, mm-hmm. do you think that that informed some of your like moral rootedness?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
My perceived moral high ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. And I think also my friendship with Camilla. Camilla was really into, like, we joined the Global Issues Network at our school. We volunteered on Saturdays to teach English at a school for migrant children down the street from us. I think it was my friendship with Camilla and also, yeah, my dad's influence for sure.
So you were a club person in school.
Yes.
You were very involved.
I was.
What were the clubs we were in? What was happening? I feel like you're giving me fencing. Like,
fencing.
Were you? Yeah,
no,
you're giving
no,
me
no.
fencing energy.
I was
What? Maybe that's just me watching too many like teen movies. But whenever I think of like international, like chic,
no, there was like, no fencing.
Someone that fences.
Yeah, I get the picture, but no. I did do. I mean, what I was describing earlier of like, I did a lot of things, and I feel like I never kind of went deep on any of them. Mm. Like I played soccer, mm-hmm. and I played softball. I played rugby.
Whoa!
I played rugby my senior year. And I got injured like halfway through the season. I was like, thank God.
I don't want to play that. Intense.
Yeah, scary. Really scary.
I know nothing about the rules of rugby, specifically women's rugby.
Yeah, I mean, I barely know.
Anything. Is it like the same as...
It's the same. It's like, and it was like full on tackle rugby. You know, like you'd like use your shoulders. So I dislocated my shoulder. And when do you dislocate your shoulder... First of all, the only thing to do is like pop it back into place, which is awful. But also, it is easy for your shoulder to become dislocated for the rest of your life. So I have had like a chronic injury because of that one season of rugby.
God.
Yeah. But I do like it as like a claim to fame. Like, yeah, I played rugby.
I mean, it is cool. Into it. Yeah. And the outfits are cute.
Yeah.
The striped shirts mm-hmm. and whatever.
Yeah.
I love that.
But I couldn't tell you about the rules.
Yeah, no. Like, you're like, I just wore that nice little shirt.
And I ran. Dislocated my shoulder. I was pretty fast. So that's good. You know, I was on the wing and I would just like
go up and down. Up and down. Yeah. Soccer also makes sense.
Yes. Soccer, softball, swimming. I did it all. Except fencing.
Except fencing. Did you do theater at all?
I did theater a little bit. And then my brother... who's older than my oldest sibling, he took me aside one day and he was like, I think he was really good at theater. He was like the big man on campus. He was good at sport. He did like 3-season varsity sports. Mm. He was in all the plays.
Wow.
He won Battle of the Bands. Like he excelled Battle at everything.
Battle of the Bands.
Great grades. Yeah. He's like the golden child.
Sounds like a loser.
Yeah, total loser. No, that was the problem. He was cool, too. Like, it was not fair. And he took me aside one day, and he was like, I don't know if drama is your forte. I think maybe you should try film. And so I was like, I think you're right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did drama for a little bit, but it wasn't my thing. It wasn't my forte.
And then you were in clubs.
Yeah, I did like Global Issues Network, which was basically get around, like sit around with a bunch of kids and think about what the world's issues mm-hmm. are, like climate change. And you go to like a summit every year to...
Where?
It was in a different place each time. Like one time, actually, I went back to the Philippines. It was at a school in the Philippines. I think one time it was in Jakarta in Indonesia, Hong Kong one year. And I mean, we didn't like do anything to solve anything, but
it's still like critical thinking.
Yeah,
it's just crazy to think. I mean, it's it's so exotic to me to think mm-hmm. about like being in high school in Beijing and going to Jakarta for like a school trip.
Yeah, it was crazy when I think, and often I actually don't talk about it because if the experiences I was having feel. If I put them in the context of like school in the U.S., they feel wild. Like that,
What's the most wild thing that comes to your mind?
Like, it was normal among my. Listen, if you're working for UNICEF, you're not making a ton of money,
right?
But I was going to school with people who were like children of ambassadors, right. or their parents were working at big banks. So right. There was a lot of money around me. And but it was also quite normal to have like a chef or a a driver mm-hmm. and a house cleaner. I remember my sister one time when we moved to Beijing, a couple weeks after we moved, someone invited her on their private jet to go skiing in like the north of China
Did she go?
She went. Yeah. My sister had like the most those kinds of experiences of like, you know, peeking in on people's wealth.
Like you're like, where's my private jet?
I was not on any private jet.
Yeah.
But
I've always wanted to go skiing in Japan.
Oh,
have you ever gone skiing in Japan?
No, I've never gone skiing in Japan. I went skiing once in Beijing, like in On like a mountain with like fake snow.
Yes.
That was my only experience with skiing.
I love that.
Not my sisters.
Yeah, not your sisters. Are you the youngest?
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Really?
I love being the youngest.
I love being the youngest.
Me too.
I feel like I want to have kids so that I can have a youngest.
You know, it's so funny. I said I love being the youngest and you said me too. And then you said I love being the youngest and I said me too.
It's really the best.
It's really fun because like it's my world and everyone else is just living in it.
Exactly. And I mean, my brother is the golden child, like I said, but that's too much pressure. I never had any of that kind of pressure.
Oh, no. Like, my brother has a different mom than me, but I view him as my brother.
Yeah.
But, like, my brother was super smart, and my sister was super smart. And my sister was also, like, an equestrian and, played field hockey.
Fencing?
She didn't do fencing. But she was, like, very well-rounded like that. Like, you know, whatever. Played the cello. Like, all this shit. And then there was me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just beat my drum to the tune of my own horn.
But you were, like, an artist. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did your family think it was cool or were they kind of worried about you?
No. I don't know. Like, here's my question. High school is cringe.
Yeah.
You know.
We can agree on that.
So it's like, yes, I was an artist. I have the work I made. It's bad.
Really? Yeah.
You know? And like, it got better when I went and I studied it in college. Some of the work that I made in college, I actually like really like.
Yeah.
A piece of it hangs in my house, like that I like it so much. But like the shit that I was doing, and I mean, first of all, I was so horny in high school and I was so boy crazy in high school that like half of the reason, it's so predatory and weird, but half of the reason why I even like got into photography was so that I could like go up to hot boys and be like, can I take your photo? You know what I mean?
That's and, so funny.
Well, it's just like, it was always for something. Like, I think, I don't know if I ever, I think I was authentic in like my constant search for something, but I was never a teenager that was like super grounded in, I don't know, that's an incomplete thought, but like some teenagers would be like, I love.
This is my thing.
This is my thing. And like for me, my thing was always kind of determined, sort of like how you went through iterations with friendships. My thing was always determined by like what serviced me being horny.
That's so funny. Did you have a boyfriend in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had like a million.
Yeah.
But it informed like what music I would like or like how I would dress or like what I would the films that I would watch or like, you know, and I had my boyfriend my sophomore year of high school was the hottest guy I've ever dated.
Wow.
He was still so hot. He still is so hot. Shout out to Patrick. I'm not going to say his last name. I'm just going to say shout out to Patrick. You are so hot. You are still so hot. I found you recently. That sounds sketchy, but I found you recently and you are still hot. He's so hot. He absolutely goes off. And then he does. And then junior year. Oh, and then I have boys that I was like obsessed with in between, but like they were all kind of losers. And then junior year, I dated the absolute king, Mickey. Shout out to Mickey. Love Mickey. He's a great guy.
Aww.
The only one that I'll say. Actually, Patrick's a great guy too. And then my senior year, I dated a guy and by the way, I was like sickly in love with my junior year and my senior year's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like sick.
That makes sense.
Love sick.
Really?
Yes. And that defined, I think, a lot of my high school experience.
Yeah.
Being
so why were you lovesick? You just were so in it? Were you just
okay,
an
the tables
person?
Are turning on this episode.
sorry.
Why was I lovesick? Well, there was a lack of love in my household. I don't know. I think like I I don't know.
Yeah.
I
think that's part of high school too, is like it feels, you feel so old and it feels so
I think I felt
serious.
Really old. I felt really old a lot of high school.
Yeah. I get that.
And I watched so many movies. I was like obsessed with movies and obsessed with TV that I think I let so much of what I was watching inform the way that I wanted to feel.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think of the kids whose, like, parents didn't let them, like, watch anything.
Yeah.
And they were probably, like, way more into, like, doing math or something like that. And I was, like...
Poor them, though.
I just wanted to, like, be in love and have sex and, like...
Yeah.
And, like, feel feelings.
Yeah.
And then I went through a phase where I was, like, fuck all of that. Where I was, like, a old, washed-up bitch.
In high school or, no, after high
after.
School.
Yeah. Like, all through college, my friends would, like, make fun of me. One of my best friends, she would always be, like, stop it. And I'd be, like, oh, they just want to use you and leave you. And that, like, smoking a cigarette. Being, like, they want to use you and leave you in the trash. Like, you know.
You
like
overdid it in high school.
Yeah, like, overcompensated. Yeah. And then I'd be, like, I'm never getting married. I can just fuck them and leave. Them and live my life, like I'll just have friends and like and then, you know, here I am, I'm married. Married hag. Why did you fall in love in high school?
I think probably, you know, a lot of the same stuff, like movies, TV shows. I think I said before we started airing that I grew up watching Gossip Girl.
XOXO.
That was XOXO. Where's Serena? Where has she been? You know?
Yeah.
I grew up watching that and that played a big part. That was like actually very influential in middle school and high school, that show.
Yeah. I mean, that also was such an example of like this aspirational American dream of like what high school was.
Yeah.
That like New York City private prep school stuff that has so much lore around it.
Yeah. And they were so adult, like hosting parties that were like swanky.
I mean, and also like Chuck Bass being like,
no,
I own 90% of my father's company.
Who wrote him?
He's like 15 years old, like firing his dad's employees.
It's outrageous.
But like, I do know kids that were kind of like that.
Yeah.
And maybe you did too.
I think I did. I had like knew some people who like started businesses and stuff. But I think I fell in love also because Isaac, the guy who I dated most of high school, was just like really a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He had liked me. He was very shy, but he had liked me for some time before we started dating. And he just kind of like won me over. He was very tender. He was hot. Yeah.
He sounds like he had great clothes.
He had great clothes and he was very artistic.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that brought me into the arts. I think he was just like such a sweetheart. Like, to give an example, when I was in high school, maybe like 16 or 17, I did a fast. Like, I'm a Baha'i, and in March, there's like a 19-day fast. You fast between sunrise and sunset. And my birthday is in March. And so I couldn't, like, you know, have cake or whatever during the day. And I was, like, really sad about it. And Isaac, 17 at the time, made a cake at home and biked to my house and left it on my doorstep pre-sunrise because I couldn't eat between sunrise and sunset. Left it on my doorstep so that I could have cake on my birthday, like for breakfast. He was like that. He was just like, he was like a
was
hopeless
it good?
Romantic. It was. Yeah, it was a great chocolate cake. He was a good cook.
Oh, we love teens that can cook.
I know.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, he was really sweet.
Before we step into the guidance counselor's office, I do have to know if there is – wait, also, could you drive? Did you drive?
No. No, I didn't learn to drive until last year.
What?
I'm 28. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, because I think in China you can't get your license until 18.
Okay.
And so I couldn't get it throughout high school.
New York.
And then I went to New York. I lived in New York for 7 years.
So there's no need.
No need to drive there. And then I moved to LA and I was like, okay, now I really
– Did you go to a driving school?
I didn't go to driving school, but I had like a private, I had a an instructor. His name was Jorge, and I love him.
Okay.
I've, like, tried to text him since then. Actually, I think he changed his number. He's like,
I need to get his info because yeah. One of my best friends is 38, and wow. he doesn't know how to drive.
Well,
and he lives here.
I wish I could give you Jorge's number, but yeah, he changed it.
I mean, damn.
No, I mean, that's hard. 38, lives here in LA, has lived here for a while.
He lived in New York for 20 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll do it.
He drove kind of in high school, but like, not really. And now he like needs to learn how to drive.
Is he able to get around?
The doll walks everywhere.
Yeah.
It's psychotic.
He really looks great. He's like in shape.
He is in great shape. You have no idea. He walks like he will walk 5 miles to the gym.
Wow.
It's crazy. And it's like there's something that's kind of creepy about walking in LA, mm-hmm. I find, because like you can be in great pockets of it and then you can be in pockets of your walk where you don't see anyone on the sidewalk, where you'll just be alone and you're like, hello? Does anybody?
No, and you'll be like on the side of a freeway.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah. It's a weird walking town. Yeah. You can walk in neighborhoods, but like walking from neighborhood to neighborhood, there's no connectivity.
No, you have to drive to a neighborhood and then walk there.
Bizarre. Is there like one memory from high school that you feel is like so quintessential to your high school experience? Like when you think about it, it's just like that was that.
Yeah. When I was a senior, all my friends were going on a senior trip to Thailand. They were like, after we graduated, they were going to go on a trip to Thailand. And I said, no, I'm not going to go to Thailand. I want to go to Sweden to visit my boyfriend. My parents were like, absolutely not. I would wear them down on things. Like, I don't know if it's a youngest child thing, but I just like wore them down. Finally, they were like, okay, you can go to Sweden if you pay for the ticket yourself. Thinking like, there's no way in hell, like she's never made a dollar. She's not going to be able to pay for this ticket herself.
Right.
And I was like, perfect. And I made all the money from them. Like my mom is obsessed with massages. And I would be like, I will charge you $10 for a 10-minute massage. She would do it. And I was like,
are you a good masseuse?
Yeah, I'm great as a result. But like they needed our family photos. They wanted them scanned. And I was like, I will scan them for $1 per picture.
That's so funny.
Like my rates were high. And I ended up just like scrounging together $800, which was the price of the ticket.
That's expensive.
Yeah. From Beijing to Sweden.
It's a long way. Yeah.
And I went.
How long did you go for?
I think for like 2 weeks with his family. It was so fun.
We're in Sweden.
Yeah. He's from Stockholm, but we went to like, he had like a cousin who had a summer home on an island in Sweden. Apparently Sweden is the country with the most islands in the world. Isn't that crazy?
My cousin lives there.
Oh, really?
She lives in Malmo, where my gummies are from.
Yes.
If anyone from Kolsvart Gummies is listening to this podcast, please consider sponsoring us. I am very addicted to these gummies. They're delicious. And I thank you for your service. And I love that the fish that you chose for the elderflower is heinous. And it honestly makes me want to eat them more. So thank you so much. Anyway, well, that's a sexy little trip that you went on.
It was. It was a sexy little trip. But yeah, I feel like me wearing down my parents, them telling me no and me being like, let me show you, was very quintessentially me in high school.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Knock, knock, knock. Is it a door knock I hear? Why, yes, it is. Welcome to the High School Guidance Counselor's Office. I'm your high school guidance counselor. In this segment of the pod, you get to air your grievances of high school past. You get to, you know, apologize to someone, say fuck you to someone, whatever it is that's kind of, you know, been on your mind over the past now 11 years, you get to just free yourself of.
Wow, I'm so lucky.
Yes, you are.
There's so many.
Really?
I could go in so many directions. Yeah, totally. And
we take multiples in this office.
I could go with things I want to apologize for or things that I want to say fuck you for.
We can do one of each. We can do two of each.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I'll go with the latter. When I moved from the Philippines to China when I was in eighth grade. So I guess this is the middle of eighth grade. And like I said, I developed early. Mm-hmm. I had large boobs. And there was a girl who was at this new school that I was at. And she started a rumor that I got my boobs done, that I had had a boob job at 14. And it really messed with me because it was like something that I was already so self-conscious right. about. And I, because I developed so quickly, I had stretch marks mm-hmm. on my boobs.
And I know that.
Yeah. And I was like, it was something I was embarrassed about, insecure about. I had had comments. I had a comment from one friend about my stretch marks, like being horrified by them. And then there was this girl who was using that against me in like a totally new way. It just felt like I couldn't catch a break, you know?
Right.
And so to her, that was her name. Yeah, I've never said that out loud. First and last. Wow. No, we can bleep that out if we want.
We can bleep it. Elementary school bully, her name is too distinct as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why can't our bullies just be named like Sarah Adams or something, you know?
Ungoogleable.
Like, yeah, like, and there are a million that would pop up.
No, I do feel for her. I think she's had like a rough go of it since high school, but, you know, you reap what you sow.
Well, look, the thing about being bullied, it's like, it is so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you're like, no one's listening to me. Like, I don't have fake boobs.
Yeah.
Like, I wish. What?
Yeah. I would like to get rid of them. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I feel like the thing is that adults, once you're past that time of life, you realize how, like, much of a blip it is. But then, so a lot of the advice that you're getting from adults is like, it'll pass, it'll be fine. But you're like, but it's not right now.
Like, in my present, I don't have, again, like, that perspective.
Yeah.
And that's why these things, like, fuck with you.
Yeah.
But they also, like, imprint upon you. I say this constantly on this podcast. I'm a broken record. But these things do, like, imprint upon you and then inform things about how you feel or, like, how you internalize things later on in life that I think we don't give enough credit to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're being exposed to that, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember thinking at one point, like, I will never get naked in front of anyone. Like, I will have sex, but I will not get naked in front of anyone. Like, I won't let anyone see me.
I love, like, an eighth grader being like, I will have sex, but I will remain in my clothes.
Very specific. Yeah.
I will have sex, but I will stay in a shirt. I remember that feeling, though. Remember when, like, girls would, like, change, like, how you change your shirts without showing your...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that for a long time. Long time.
I think I actually did it in this office like 2 days ago. Yeah. But that's like, those are skills that like we learn because we have so much shame.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't know, why not just let my titters fly?
Yeah.
Everyone has them.
Yeah.
Free the nipple.
Yeah.
Is that your only thing you'd like to discuss today?
Yeah, I feel like...
Do you feel free of it now? Do you feel like this therapy session of 4 minutes worked to erase
honestly,
the trauma that you
should
endured?
Pay you.
Yeah. Honestly, you know that she was probably just really jealous.
Yes, for sure. I think what had happened was that her long-term boyfriend, he was assigned to be like my peer, show me around. I was a new student in the middle of the year. So like, he was assigned to me. So we were spending a lot of time together. I was not interested in him at all. He was ugh. He was not that. And,
well, but, here's but this she girl threatened. Is. Of course. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, who's this cute girl? She's new. She has huge boobs. Yeah. She's with my ugly boyfriend.
Yes, exactly.
That's my
exactly
ugly
the
boyfriend.
Narrative in her head. Yeah.
You know, like my ugly boyfriend is obviously going to want this hot girl.
Yes.
God.
I do.
Boys
I feel
are
free of it.
So ugly.
Yeah. Most of them are. I know, like, I had a huge...
I'm sorry. Like, when I think... no, I mean, like, when I think about...
Yeah.
I just...
Girls are so much cuter.
Yeah,
I really think that.
Like, boys in middle school and in high school, when I think about... Like, I... lol every time I see Euphoria. Yes. That I'm supposed to believe that Jacob Elordi yes. is like in high school. What? That guy in high school would be not, that guy would have like a 25-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah. No, it's like you have, you know, like beer goggles on or something. Like when you're in high school, you think these people are so cute because it's just what.
It's your community. It's what you're around. It's what's accessible you know, to you. You
know, everything is relative, so.
But even when I look at, like, Gossip Girl, for example, mm-hmm. even those boys looked embarrassing.
Yes. Like, yeah, I agree.
Chase Crawford's hair, like, I know, it's like flat ironed in the front and then, like, messy in the back. It's full Kate Gosling.
Yes.
It's
oh, my God.
Wild. That's
exactly. It's a good reference.
And it's, yeah. like. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. No, boys are gorgeous.
We love men.
But I do, I'm just saying, like, I have a soft spot for middle school boys and high school boys because, like, there's so much conversation, and I hope it's gotten better, but, like, around the aesthetics of girls and, like, judging girls' bodies and this yeah. and that, and, like, your hair and your skin, how you look. And I feel like boys are probably just as insecure as girls, yeah. but since there's less of a conversation, they're kind of just like trapped.
That's true.
You know, they're That's trapped true. In their little ugly bodies.
And no one tells them.
And no one tells them that they're ugly. God, I mean, this episode is going to get me like, everyone's going to be like, fuck you, Greta. No. Well, no. You know I'm telling the truth. Tevi, do we have a classmate today?
We do. This is actually our first second time.
We have a second submission. Writer?
Yes.
Okay.
So Tall says, hello, Gertie Guidance and beautiful guest. You read my email about getting pantsed in gym class during freshman year in the Marie Faustin episode. Since I said fuck you once, I felt compelled to write in with an apology. Oh. There's something to be said about high school confidence, and although fleeting, I never felt as socially powerful as I did when I was in senior year and newly single from my first real boyfriend. Prom was right around the corner, and I casually asked a boy from my writer's craft class to go with me. He was sort of nerdy, tall, and liked Animal Collective, and apparently had a crush on me. I thought it was cute. He was so stoked to go, and we did a whole deal, photos together with our friends in a limo. He and his mom bought me a corsage. Fast forward to the actual prom, and I cannot remember spending a single second with that boy. I was a goddamn social butterfly, talking to everyone, dancing up a storm. I truly didn't even remember saying bye to him. I remember that we ended up at different parties, and I kissed a lot of other people that weren't him. Afterward, we barely talked in class, and looking back, I realized I totally took advantage of him being nice and an easy date that I felt... or that I left him in the lurch. I feel like when you get bullied, it's easy to justify your crappy actions later on, but he didn't deserve that. So I'm so sorry, Lataro. Your Adam's apple was so big. Thanks again, and love you, Greta.
Aww. Well, that's a beautiful apology.
Yeah.
You know, I have no notes on that. Good for you. But we've all done that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think, I mean... sounds like a fun prom.
Yeah, it sounds like a successful prom. It sounds like you needed that.
Yeah.
You were newly single. You needed to go with a safe date. Smooch a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope Lataro hears this apology. Yeah.
I hope Lataro's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they are.
He probably, like, had fun. Or maybe he didn't. And that's also okay.
Yeah, it's a story.
It's a story. Character. And, you know, I think I did that when I was a sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm. At your prom?
I was invited by Mickey, who ended up being my boyfriend. So he did end up being my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But he liked me before I liked him. And he took me to prom. And then I think I ended up going to, like, an after prom and... I don't know, probably not making out with him. But then, you know, we did end up being boyfriend and girlfriend later. But, like, I think that that's a pretty normal thing.
Yeah, you're figuring it all out.
Yeah.
You're figuring out how to be in relationship and how to be kind and compassionate to people. So it's okay.
We forgive you.
Yeah.
On behalf of Lataro, we forgive you. Thank you so much for writing in. Other listeners, please write to us. I know you all want to talk to the guidance counselor. So please email us at seniorsuperlativespod@gmail.com with the subject line Classmates Corner. Now I need to ask, if you go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
If I could go back in time and give my high school self advice, I think I would tell myself to like loosen up a little bit and be a little bit more chill and enjoy the like goofiness of that time. I feel like I spent a lot of time trying to be older than I was. And I think maybe part of that is being the youngest child.
I think I did that too.
Yeah. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I needed to just be my goofy
like teenage self.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good advice.
Thanks.
It's a shame that we're here now.
Yeah.
But I feel that way. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I wanted to be grown up so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like probably everybody does in that time.
I don't know. You know when you think about some teenagers, you're like, wow, you were really like a teen.
Yeah. Or like even like you're just your nerdy, cute self.
Yeah.
And you're just enjoying your funny, quirky things. Yeah. You know, I felt like I needed to be cool. I needed to be – there were like certain things I needed to be into. And I feel like I could have just let myself be myself a little bit more.
Yeah, like the people that would like be in photos and they'd be like – like in photos, that was so not me. I was like,
yeah, duck lips,
you know.
Exactly.
I was never like, just let it be freaky.
Yeah, just like laugh a little louder.
No laughter.
Sounds so dorky, but yeah.
No laughter.
Yeah.
No laughing. No jokes.
Yeah. Serious.
Serious.
Dark room.
Yeah.
Film photos.
Yeah, film photos. Did you go to prom?
I did. I went to prom with Isaac. I went 2 years. I went for his senior prom when I was a junior, and then I went for my senior prom, and I loved it, I think. I got free tickets because our school had like a competition, and they did like a promposal if you had like the best promposal.
Okay, what were your promposals?
So, I mean, he was not a very like prom person, so he did not. I think I asked him, like, can we go to your prom? So nothing there. But when I was a senior and he had just graduated, I made a stop motion film to invite him to prom. And he already knew we were going to go together, but I wanted the free tickets. So I like made this video so that we could get free tickets to prom.
And we still have it?
It's like, I think I uploaded it to Facebook or something. Yeah. It's like a Facebook video.
So funny.
Yeah.
And sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Promposals. You really just took me back there.
Yeah.
My mom was always like, this is so fucking dumb.
It is dumb. She was right. Your mom is right.
I remember when I was asked for the first time to prom when I was a sophomore and he was a junior, he painted prom ? On like the back of a painting in like the art studio.
Oh, wow.
And I was so scared to have him ask me that I avoided going there. And I would go there every day.
You didn't want to go with him?
I don't know. I think I was just like scared,
yeah,
you know?
It's a big deal.
And then the second, my junior year when he asked me to prom, we were at like one of the fanciest restaurants in D.C.
Whoa.
I think I've talked about this in this podcast before, but like he had them write prom in chocolate on our dessert plate.
Oh my gosh, this is like an actual proposal.
Yeah, but my heart goes out. Shout out to whatever like sous chef wrote prom in chocolate on that dessert plate.
That's
because
true.
You know, like, they were like, yeah,
I hate this job.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I forget my senior year, but
yeah,
they were like such a thing.
Oh, yeah. Huge. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little salty that I never got a promposal. Like, you know, feminism, yes. But
promposals.
I should get a promposal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you wear to both of the proms?
So when I was a junior, I wore this like slinky red dress.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. Now, like looking back, I'm like, that's the ugliest dress I could have ever worn. It was short, but it had like these like shards of fabric like on top of it basically and made a weird shape. But
it sounds very avant-garde.
Yeah. maybe.
It's like generous.
And then my senior year, I wore like a black dress that had cutouts and like a deep red lip. Mm. I had, in my senior year, I chopped off all my hair. I got like a pixie cut.
Love that.
And so I had a pixie cut in my prom pictures. And yeah, it was interesting having a pixie cut. I feel like as soon as I chopped off all my hair, Isaac, because he was cool and artsy, loved it. But all the boys who had like previously paid me attention, it was just like, I was invisible.
I always felt like it was really hard because I, like, when I had really short hair and like pixie cut-esque, I always would feel like it made my boobs look so much bigger.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I felt like I had to like wear more makeup and earrings. I had to like feminize the haircut a little bit, but I never felt that. But
Let's go get pixie cuts again.
Yeah, let's go. When are you free?
I guess that's my last question. That's my last question. And other than my last question. wait, I do want to ask one more question before I ask the last question, which is concerts.
Mm.
Now, because you were in Beijing, was like going to like live shows? Was that a thing? Because I feel like I spent so much of my time in high school going to concerts.
Yeah, it wasn't really a thing. Like if someone was coming on tour to Beijing, it had to be, it was like
huge,
like Beyonce.
Right.
Or like, and actually I went to see Beyonce with my mom.
Fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. But yeah, it wasn't really a part of the high school experience, but I did go to see a DJ. And this was like my first proper like concert alone, no family members. We saw Boys Noize.
Cool.
Yeah, and it was super fun. That's like the only experience.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, like, you know, Beijing is such a huge city that it's not like there's not access to like a ton of shit.
Yeah.
But definitely, but with like concerts
are coming
like and movies.
So what's interesting is that you will notice in some films, like for example, The Arrival. Have you seen The Arrival? It's like a alien movie.
Yes.
It's a really great movie, and then there's this random part at the end where she like breaks out into Mandarin. She's speaking Chinese, and there's like a Chinese president, and you're like, what's going on? Movies, a lot of like American-made movies, if they wanted to be played in China, because only one English-speaking film could be played each month in the country. Like, they wanted to promote Chinese film.
Right.
And so they would only allow one American movie a month. And if your movie could be played in China, that was a huge market and you would make a lot more money. So there was like an era in film where a lot of films were putting in like basically Chinese propaganda somewhere, slipping it into the movie
able
to play it in China.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that so crazy?
Hollywood, you might notice, is awesome.
It. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. But I definitely went to the
movies. That.
But there weren't that many playing. But there was a lot of like bootlegging.
Right. That makes sense. And we love a bootleg.
Yes. I definitely did.
Now my final question of the pod is, did you have a senior superlative? Was that a thing?
Yeah, we definitely had a yearbook. I can't be 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it was most talkative.
Love that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That was like every report card, every parent-teacher conference, everything was like, she's great. We love her. She's
too
chatty.
Too much.
Yeah. That was my
thing. You know, and here you are talking for a living.
Exactly.
That's
they could
good.
See me now.
Yeah. I talk into a microphone for hours on end.
Yeah.
Well, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This is such a lovely time.
Yeah, I had a great time. I enjoyed it. I don't think I'm going to let my mom listen to it, but.
Well, listen, Mom, we were having sex, but we only drank once or twice.
Yeah.
Like, we only drank twice. And like, yeah, we smoked cigarettes while eating Domino's, but like, you know, I would say.
You got to live a little.
Here's what I'll say. If I have a kid and if they just do that, thrilled.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
Pretty good.
Pretty I would say very good. Yeah. I'm giving you an A plus.
Thank you.
An A plus.
That's what I was angling for, and now we can end.
Yes. Yeah. A plus. Where can all of my listeners listen to you on your podcast?
Yeah, so I am a host of a podcast called Pod Crushed. It's all about middle school, mm-hmm. and we interview guests much like you do. Mm-hmm. You can listen to that anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, the works. And you can find me online at Scribbled by Sophie. I've been trying to change it for years and I can't. So
that's fine. Here you are.
Here I am.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. Thank you for listening to me every week. I can't talk today. I've had too much caffeine. Thank you for listening to me every week. Thank you for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. And oh, this is what I need to start doing. I need to start promoting London. If you're in London,
ooh.
If you're in London town, I'm going to be there performing at Soho Theater February 16, 17, and 18. Please, for the love of Christ, come and see me. I would love to see you. The shows are going to be really fun. I'm an amazing comedian. I'm an incredible performer. Some say once in a generation. So come see me. It would mean so much to me, you know, if you show up. And that's it. And, you know, as I say every week on the pod, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.